Task 3. You will hear part of a program. Read through the notes below and complete them by filling in the gaps according to what you hear. Gap 0 has been completed as an example. Now, read the notes.
Okay, thank you everyone for coming. This is a magnificent turnout. Hi, so the talk we're about to hear, hopefully, you're all awaiting, is entitled Titanic, 14th to the 15th of April, 1912, The Official Story. A little introduction. My name's James Cronin. I've been at the National Archives now for 17 years. I'll give you a rounded view of what we have in the archives and how those documents tell the story. Before we launch into the documents, first of all, I was considering what is it exactly about Titanic that continues to fascinate people. For some, it's the fact that Titanic was a microcosm of society. The ship carried millionaires in great luxury, such as John Jacob Astor, but also emigrants looking for a fresh start in the New World, such as the Sage family, of whom more later, and Welsh pugilists Leslie Williams and David Bowen, who were travelling to America for a series of organised contests. So they weren't all luxury passengers. Some were emigrating, some were going over for specific purposes. For others, it's the sheer splendour of Titanic. She was the largest passenger steamer of her day, and perhaps the most sumptuous. Equipped with the latest technological devices, and yet furnished with all that civilised luxury could require. Her amenities included a swimming pool, palm courts, three electric elevators, a Turkish bath, and a gymnasium. Some of the first-class suites were even fitted out as period rooms in the style of Robert Adams and Louis XV. French chefs and Italian waiters were to serve up a sumptuous array of dishes that would not have been out of place in the finest restaurants and hotels in New York, London, and Paris. She was to operate their passenger services between Southampton and New York. She was 882 feet 9 inches long, 92 feet 6 inch wide and 104 feet high. From bow to stern, she was longer than the tallest building yet conceived. And some of you may have seen the old postcards comparing Olympic and Titanic standing upright against the Empire State Building. For others, it's the blend of technology and arrogance. While White Star Line never directly made the claim that Titanic was unsinkable, they would undoubtedly have thought it. She had a double-bottom skin, and her hull was divided into 16 watertight compartments. It would take at least five of these compartments to flood in order to sink. And that would have taken an unpredicted catastrophe. It's partly because of this that there were insufficient lifeboats for the number of passengers she was carrying. It should be said that with 20 lifeboats capable of carrying 1,178 persons if filled to capacity, Titanic more than fulfilled the Board of Trade regulations and requirements for the period. Additional lifeboats, as well as being viewed as unnecessary, would have altered the sleek and beautiful appearance of the liner, and Titanic was above all a showcase. Let me take you through the documents now. We set the scene.
Now, listen again.
Okay, thank you everyone for coming. This is a magnificent turnout. Hi, so the talk we're about to hear, hopefully, you're all awaiting, is entitled Titanic, 14th to the 15th of April, 1912, The Official Story. A little introduction. My name's James Cronin. I've been at the National Archives now for 17 years. I'll give you a rounded view of what we have in the archives and how those documents tell the story. Before we launch into the documents, first of all, I was considering what is it exactly about Titanic that continues to fascinate people. For some, it's the fact that Titanic was a microcosm of society. The ship carried millionaires in great luxury, such as John Jacob Astor, but also emigrants looking for a fresh start in the New World, such as the Sage family, of whom more later, and Welsh pugilists Leslie Williams and David Bowen, who were travelling to America for a series of organised contests. So they weren't all luxury passengers. Some were emigrating, some were going over for specific purposes. For others, it's the sheer splendour of Titanic. She was the largest passenger steamer of her day, and perhaps the most sumptuous. Equipped with the latest technological devices, and yet furnished with all that civilised luxury could require. Her amenities included a swimming pool, palm courts, three electric elevators, a Turkish bath, and a gymnasium. Some of the first-class suites were even fitted out as period rooms in the style of Robert Adams and Louis XV. French chefs and Italian waiters were to serve up a sumptuous array of dishes that would not have been out of place in the finest restaurants and hotels in New York, London, and Paris. She was to operate their passenger services between Southampton and New York. She was 882 feet 9 inches long, 92 feet 6 inch wide, and 104 feet high. From bow to stern, she was longer than the tallest building yet conceived. And some of you may have seen the old postcards comparing Olympic and Titanic standing upright against the Empire State Building. For others, it's the blend of technology and arrogance. While White Star Line never directly made the claim that Titanic was unsinkable, they would undoubtedly have thought it. She had a double-bottom skin, and her hull was divided into 16 watertight compartments. It would take at least five of these compartments to flood in order to sink. And that would have taken an unpredicted catastrophe. It's partly because of this that there were insufficient lifeboats for the number of passengers she was carrying. It should be said that with 20 lifeboats capable of carrying 1,178 persons if filled to capacity, Titanic more than fulfilled the Board of Trade regulations and requirements for the period. Additional lifeboats, as well as being viewed as unnecessary, would have altered the sleek and beautiful appearance of the liner, and Titanic was above all a showcase. Let me take you through the documents now.
This is the end of Task 3 and the end of the listening test.